Hi, I'm Tara Lipinski.
And this is Todd Kapasashi.
And you're listening to Unexpecting, the podcast.
Season two.
Yes, here we are.
So, not that anyone needs to hear any more about my fashion stuff, but I have to say
I knew you were going to bring this up right up.
Why not? This is very reminiscent of the infamous eggplant sweatshirt situation. Right. Eggplant gate from season one.
Yeah.
I feel like this sweatshirt is similar in that it's too cool for me.
Okay, guys. So I got this sweatshirt. I think it's Rag and Bone. It was one of your Christmas gifts. And I can always tell, again, we've talked about
gift giving. Well, I mean, it's been 4 months.
But you're not, sometimes your face is just very telling. And you're like a little kid. Like when you get something you really like, you're like touching it and so excited.
Touching it.
Yeah. Like it's like, meaning like clothes. Like when I get you like a
caressing
nice
top that I like.
No, but you're like, ooh, it's soft and it's this. And when you open this, you do like a very much like, oh, it's nice.
Well, I'm trying to process if I'm cool enough to wear it.
Right. And I think that you are. And I love it. And
it feels like, I know he's a very polarizing figure right now, so I'm not promoting his style, but this feels like Kanye West would wear this.
It's just a hoodie.
But it has like interesting little thing here.
It's nice. It's like a nice hoodie.
I feel like the Michelin Man a little bit. It's very big and puffy.
It's just like a different look for you.
It's like a puffy coat, but a sweatshirt.
I mean, you have a uniform. It's like when I was a kid and went to Catholic school and wore the same thing every day, just like a different color.
My closet's funny. It would be funny to do like an Instagram because I have a good amount of clothes. I mean, a lot of it's just like old, like I have a bunch of J. Crew shirts from like 12 years, like before I met you. And I have them all hanging, but I have a specific part of my closet that has all my clothes that I actually wear, which is like probably 8 to 10 shirts.
So I try to mix it up for you. I think you look cute.
Thanks. One other thing I wanted to mention is kind of a big week for me in terms of viewer feedback. A lot of ups and downs.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Some peaks and valleys.
Guys, we don't talk. What's fun about the podcast now is we don't have time to talk about what we're going to talk about. So,
and we're tired now. So I feel like I'll say, like, ask me anything. Ask me about politics. Ask me about, I'm an open book because I'm so tired. I have no filter.
This podcast is taking a turn. Okay, go on.
Ups and downs in terms of viewer feedback for me, because on one hand, early last week, you got a message talking about how toxic I am on the podcast, which I mean, you know, maybe I'm toxic in real life. I feel like on the podcast, I'm pretty likable. I mean, if she thinks I'm toxic on the podcast, can you imagine if these walls could talk?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Just so people know too, like she was basically upset that like I was shitting on your gifts, the like nice ones, which is fair.
It is fair.
But like
she had a point.
But I hope people know that we're A, joking. B, like the truth of the matter is you've gotten me so many expensive things throughout the years, like ridiculous, like computers and all this stuff, like those gifts, and I thought this was coming across, that those gifts are still by far the most meaningful.
What, the computers?
No. Yeah, the computers. No, the like ones that you try for. It's just funny. It's a funny thing that I love about you, honestly, that they're like, and again, I kept saying, oh, there's always something off about them. It's not that. It's just that they're just like cute and funny, and the quotes you come up with are just like funny and silly, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny to like make fun of you a little bit.
I know.
That.
I mean, well, that's the thing too. And I would assume it comes across, but sometimes it probably doesn't in the podcast, but our personalities and our dynamic together, and you're a little bit of a shit talker, like pressing all the buttons all the time. It's just who you are.
Thanks.
You know, but you know what I mean? Like
I've never heard that before. I'm pushing buttons all the time.
I feel like you're a bit of like
I'm an instigator.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, I guess that's a button pusher.
But I love you.
But anyway, so we went from Toxic Todd.
Toxic
start calling me that in the reviews.
When we get in a fight, though, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring that out.
Oh, it's Toxic Todd.
Toxic Todd is coming out.
So from that to, now granted, your back was to this person. but we were out having lunch and someone recognized me, not you, me from the podcast.
Yes. They recognized you.
But then she came over and she was like, oh, well, I recognized Todd first because your back was to me, Tara. So like, it, you know,
I mean, we talked about it at Nationals. You're getting your, you're asked for your autograph. Now people are recognizing you in public. It's huge. Well, I just got back from the World Championships and I told you that a lot of people came up and it's so interesting now. People at skating events obviously will come up to Johnny and I, and it's usually because we're figure skaters at a skating event or commentators. And now I have so many women and people coming up and saying, oh, we listened to the podcast and this was my story. And they kind of take me aside. So I don't know. Again, the point of the podcast now for me has just been creating this community and then having moments like that that just feel really cool. Yeah. But yes, you're getting recognized. But she was a patient of Dr. Beck. And it was just fun to connect.
Well, she had a child and was pregnant, I think.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you're giving away all the, hopefully she's not listening and she's like, well, I wasn't going to tell anyone.
Well, who would know out there who she is?
That's true. That's true. I'm overthinking it.
But speaking of kind of, you know, all of that and the point of doing the podcast is, did we talk on the last podcast about how you went to the event?
No. So let's talk about it. So I have started... Well, I formed a relationship with, she's so amazing. Her name is Lauren and she runs Chosen Infertility and she lives out in Michigan. We had connected, I can't even remember at this point, but I think just about the podcast through the podcast and then just learning about what, you know, she does and maybe what we could do together. And she went through her own infertility journey and she has two beautiful kids and she spends every day, all day, working to, you know, give people chances and opportunities at fertility grants. And she does a yearly event in Michigan where she raises money, a silent auction, and brings sponsors in, and then hopefully can help people, whether it's adoption or surrogacy or IVF, start a cycle or try to get pregnant. And it was so cool because a long time ago we talked and I said, I'm going to try to come in for this event. Sometimes with work, we just, you know, you never know, but it was on my calendar and I looked, it was clear, open. I took Georgie, went to the event and it was really special. I actually got to see my friend Lindsay. She came with me and they raised, I think, $75,000. And what was really cool is for the year before, the grants that were given out, both those people showed up and they both walked up to speak and they were both pregnant. And it just was such a cool moment. I actually spoke and then I did the live auction trying to get people, not the live, like not the silent auction, obviously, but like a just a open ask. So I went up to
what do you mean live auction? Were you like that fast talking?
Yes.
Like,
okay. So wait, let's get through.
Do I have 10? Do we have 10? Do we have 15, 20, 20?
Okay. Yes. So I went.
You know, sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like that would be a career if you didn't go into skating that you'd enjoy.
I would love it. Oh my God.
An auctioneer.
Yes.
You would love that.
Yes.
I know so much about you that I know you'd be.
I would love
so pumped to be an auctioneer.
I would be. But what was interesting though is Lauren, you know, did, you know, her little speech and she's like, oh, I'm going to try not to cry. And in my mind, I thought, you know, I give so many speeches. I work on live television. When I'm actually working, not on the podcast, being super vulnerable, I'm not going to cry. Right. Well, I go up there and I start off and I'm just, you know, so overwhelmed. And I get to a point where I talk about Lindsay and she was going through a journey of her own during the same time I was. And
your friend, Lindsay,
my friend, Lindsay,
that was there,
that was there 9 months pregnant. And last week she gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, Bridget Lynn. And she gave me such inspiration throughout that journey. And I think we gave that to each other because we have very similar personalities and we're kind of, you know, we like to think like, okay, we practice hard, we get through it. And we did so many retrievals. She did a lot too. And I just always admired, you know, her outlook, her strength, how she got through things. And it inspired me when I would get down to be like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to get back up and we can do this. And, you know, she would give me those nudges a little bit of like, you're fine. Now get over it. Or like, you're going to do this or you're going to do that. Or we just had such a beautiful friendship throughout this. And we've been friends since we're 13. So I'm standing up there and I look at her and she's just looking at me and I see her pregnant. And, you know, my mom is holding Georgie in the back of the room. And it just was so emotional for me. I couldn't get through. You know, I called her. I was like, Lindsay's here and we've been through. And I just was like bawling. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I've never had this moment. And it was
true professional just up there crying.
Yeah. And I just couldn't finish. Like, I had to just be like, okay, guys, like, thank you. I just was so overcome with all of the feels and all of the emotion. But anyway, I also want to say this about Chosen. And it's really cool. And I guess when the podcast comes out, I don't know exactly when I will announce this, but you know what I've been working on with Lauren is, you know, I've always wanted, obviously, we both want to give back and pay it forward in any way we can. And IVF and surrogacy and all these things are so ridiculously expensive. And it's so annoying and upsetting that, you know, so many people out there are struggling to even have the opportunity to build a family. So I am so passionate about that. And I just wanted to find a way that I could do, you know, my own event with Lauren under Chosen here in Los Angeles. And we're going to do it October 5th. And we're coming up with a name and really can't think of it. So if it's like Tara Lipinski's, help us, guys. We need a name for it. But the biggest thing is I would really like there to be a fertility grant called Georgie's Way. And obviously her way into this world was a little different. And I really would love to find enough money through this event that we're going to throw to fund a surrogacy journey, which is hard because surrogacy is so expensive, but that is my goal. And it's just such a fun role and it's really consuming a lot of my day. You know, we are reaching out to sponsors. We are, you know, reaching out to companies to be sponsors and to just figure out how we can raise as much money as we can. But the event will be in LA October 5th, which is also special because that was Georgie's due date and it just happened to be that. So that's sort of in a nutshell what the event was in Detroit, but now we're going to be able to do my own, which is just crazy.
And now a quick word from our sponsors.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, I feel like, especially at this point in my life, I'm always wishing I had more time in the day. Chores, tasks, they don't always seem to get done nowadays, but the one thing I never push aside is my weekly therapy session. I so look forward to it because I know it brings so many benefits to my life. And I love to feel like I'm working on something or towards something or just finding coping skills for whatever I'm focused on at the moment. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be suited to your schedule, which is great for busy lives. And all you have to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/unexpecting today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unexpecting.
I know we were not trying to talk a lot about kind of Georgie, but you had that event and Nationals, which I couldn't go to either of those. And you traveled essentially solo.
I traveled
with
solo.
Georgie. I don't know if you have any highlights or lowlights from that, but it went well.
I mean, other than the blowout diaper right as like wheels take off, you're like, okay, I'm going to go find a bathroom and figure it out. But she's becoming a little world traveler and it's really nice for me to be able to kind of show her my world when I go to these skating events. It's kind of overwhelming emotionally with that as well. Just, you know, my whole life has been that. And she's just this little thing there looking out on the ice. But, okay, should we talk about surrogate?
Yeah, or, you know, what I wanted to ask you first, which we haven't really talked a ton about, is, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to articulate this right, but I think, like, in life, what's hard about, there's so many things going on in the world at any given time, so many issues, so many people have stances, like geopolitical factors, mm-hmm. like American politics, like, all these things are happening, And you only have so much headspace for a certain amount of it. You know, you have your own life. So you have your own job and your own spouse and kids. And then you have all these other external factors going on. So you can only pay attention to so much. And I bring that up because I feel like pre our fertility journey, I never really heard about IVF.
I know. Like, and now it's everywhere.
Well, I was going to say it probably, I'm sure there's always been obviously abortion debates and sort of what trimester and Supreme Court rulings and court cases and, you know, politicians running on certain, you know, religious, you know, stances on it. But yeah, I feel like I didn't really, it wasn't really, really in the news in the last like 10, 15 to me. But again, that's why I bring up this whole thing of like, maybe it was just like, it's only until you really get into the weeds of like something yourself and it becomes an issue for you
and
that
it
then
becomes triggering.
You're like, yeah. And then your antennas go up instantly when you hear it in the news. Mm-hmm. But so we talked about, I think, well, obviously we talked about Roe versus Wade and now like RFK Jr.'s running mate kind of made news in the IVF world because she had sort of a very particular IVF experience that a lot of doctors are
questioning because I guess in her 30s, it was in the New Yorker, I think, that she said that she went to freeze embryos in her 30s and she was denied because she had PCOS, which a lot of doctors are coming out and saying, well, that's strange because we wouldn't deny you if you had PCOS. I mean, obviously you get denied if there's some very particular things that could be going wrong. You're sick or in menopause or something like that. But it's just interesting because it's like, does she have a bone to pick from that experience? But she pretty much has denounced IVF and is, I think she said, I don't want to get it wrong, but I think she said it's one of the biggest lies being told in women's reproductive health, which is just insane. And, you know, I think she, again, I don't know all of the details, but I think she's very like pro technology, and she's also involved or backing some companies or whatever it is to think of ways, unconventional ways to help women conceive, I guess, in a quote unquote more natural way, which one of them is like sunlight, exposure to sunlight. And you know, that's hard.
You could have
like,
just sat outside.
I could have just,
why did we go through all
why
this?
Why didn't we go on a vacation? Yeah. Really? That would have been it. Damn. Just gone to the pool.
But just so you, well, you do know this, but just the context for a lot of that is RFK Jr. A lot of people sort of in his camp are this very like, well, I'm very pro health and pro technology. It's just, I don't want to be a sheep and I'm not going to listen to what the sort of like status quo of what the medical community is telling me. I'm going to question everything and oh, IVF, like, and she falls into that. And it's just interesting that he chose someone who, you know, falls into that with IVF because it's kind of like what he feels about like vaccinations and COVID, where he's like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if he's changed course
but
on
like
this,
sheep,
but he's
like
he's a little bit anti-vax and not, and again, he was going to also, he was choosing between like a few running mates. One was Aaron Rodgers, the football player who's come out, is very anti-vax and sort of, they all have this, I shouldn't say all, I don't want to be us versus them, but a lot of people in that camp are sort of like, oh, the sheep who don't think about anything. They don't analyze anything. They just believe what they're told. And I'm going to go out and do the research and figure out if sunlight will, you know, be better than IVF, which just, it's weird to me. It's a little weird and arrogant.
Well, I think what's triggering for me, it's like, for really politics aside, it's just, again, like you said, when it comes into your world and you know so much about your world at this point, and it's just so triggering and annoying because there's so many people out there that don't know about IVF and then they hear something like this and that's how they're, you know, consuming knowledge about it. And it's, you know, I think she said something like, you know, people are just pushing you to do IVF at these clinics and it's, there's so many other options. I mean, we did a natural trigger that worked one time. I mean, there's IUIs, there's medication that can help. I mean, this is real science, real medicine. I mean, there's 8 million IVF babies out there. I think that's like 2% of the population. Like this is, you know, kind of proven that it helps people. So, but yeah, I do think it's interesting how we both feel like when we see the news, I'm like sending it to you immediately of like, this is so upsetting.
Well, it's pretty crazy if you follow sort of how, I mean, just the beginning sort of now, but the campaigns are going, is Donald Trump is kind of in a quandary because he doesn't want to say, like his base believes, you know, some of people in his base believe they're like, should never be abortion. IVF, and he's sort of like, or IVF. And right. he historically has, you know, it's one of the more liberal things that he thinks, especially if you go way back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, you know, pro-choice and like right. all these things like in the 80s and 90s and 2000s until he ran for president mm-hmm. and realized he needed to sort of, right. you know, cater to his base. Uh-huh. But now they're sort of saying, like, if you, you know, watch CNN or whatever you watch for news, they're like, he's in trouble because he kind of just, when he's asked about it, he's just like, well, he throws out the 15, 16 week thing very vaguely, doesn't have a real stance, because if he does, he's going to.
That's like going against all the people that are following him.
He's going to kind of alienate some of the voters. But then if he doesn't, if he does do that for his base, then people who he wants that are sort of like, mm-hmm. you know, fiscal conservatives right. who are just like trying so hard to convince themselves to vote for Donald Trump somehow, like he's going to lose those women, especially too, if he does come out for it.
But you know, just talking about this, it is so crazy that, I mean, we fell into this world of IVF, and I feel like people didn't even know that much about IVF 10 years ago. And now it's like, oh, women know about it, and something yeah. that people do. And now it's like part of the political.
Well, I mean, reproductive health is going to could make or break Donald Trump and how he handles that in mm-hmm. some ways. So it's going to be a big part of this election cycle, which is pretty crazy considering yeah. we're, you know, just coming off a journey and have yeah. like a kind of base knowledge of the world.
Right.
But sorry, that was kind of an aside, but you had mentioned talking about our second surrogacy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So we're, it's so funny how it happens. Cause like we've talked about it. We originally thought it was going to be Michaela. We've been thinking like, could it be? And, you know, I think I've been just kind of dragging my feet a little bit because of that. And just like, you know, we're preoccupied with other things. And the thing about surrogacy, and it's something that I, you know, people that are on the journey, I would say this, you know, I had feelers out, you know, for weeks. And, you know, the first time around, I was like constantly like checking in. And this time it was, again, we were still kind of in this up in the air thing, what we were doing next. And but I would say this to anyone who's going through a journey. Sometimes they're really, it just feels like there's not going to be a match. There's a waiting list or there's this, and it's just not going to happen. And sometimes it really does. Like yesterday we got a call and it just like falls into your lap. And it's just interesting how that happens. But yes, there's a possible surrogate. And medical records are going to be sent to Dr. Beck. And it's just interesting when you get that call and then they're like, you know, these surrogates go quick. So do you want to jump on a call today? And you're like, okay. And if you feel like
it. And then 5 minutes later, you're talking to the person who will give birth to your child.
Right. And then it's yeah. like a match. And then you send the records and you see how it goes. But I don't know. Is this sort of the initial real like start of our yeah. second journey?
Could be.
Yeah.
Now we're kind of debating. I don't know if you want to let people in on this, but there's a yeah. small gender debate.
Yeah, I know. So that's the crazy part about IVF and, you know, having your embryos tested, PGS tested, you know, the sex of your embryos. And, you know, we have a lot of boys and we had two girls, one of them, Georgie. And we have one left. And, you know, I think we always thought a girl and a boy. But I don't know. I feel like you're swaying me. Because whenever I'm like, all right, it'll be a boy, you're sort of like, we're a little girl.
Well, it's so weird. It's just like I never would have thought this would happen to me. But I like love Georgie's just the vibe of her. And mm-hmm. I'm sure I love a boy too. Yeah. But she's just so awesome. And I'm like, why not have just another one of
those? I know.
Oh, hey, Sullivan.
Oh, you're our little boy.
Oh, we already have a little boy. Sullivan's making an entrance on the podcast set.
You know, poor Sully. I feel like the podcast.
This poor guy.
Does not know what to do with
oh,
himself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say. But Georgie, he's taken a massive hit with attention. Sometimes what's so funny is it'll be like 8 o'clock and you'll walk by his bowl that's empty and he'll be like pawing at it and you'll be like, did you feed him? You're like, did you? I don't think
like
so.
The poor dog has
he eats like once every couple days.
Like, that's awful.
No, I somewhat make sure that he stays alive.
He's our
guy. He's very low maintenance, though.
He is.
Right?
You're a good boy. Do we have anything else, or is that kind of wrapping up this podcast?
It's wrapping it up, but I want, what's your gun to your head, boy or girl? Cliffhanger. On the next episode of Unexpecting, Tara Lipinski reveals the gender of her next child.
Oh, I don't know. Do we, like, I don't know. Maybe it is the cliffhanger. We'll have to wait.
It'll be an ongoing discussion, yeah. Probably. But
all right. Well, this was fun.
Yep.
Bye from Sully and Todd and I here. If you're watching on YouTube, Sullivan's just... It's probably all you see in the shot right now. All right, guys. Thanks.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to Unexpecting the Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review, and follow Unexpecting Pod on Instagram for info about upcoming weekly episode releases.